Hey, it's Roy Richardson, your friend, the neighborhood tech troublemaker. And if my audio is not great, I need you to quit and tell me now. Hey, tonight we're going to talk about gear. Lots of gear. We're going to talk about lots of gear because I've got a fellow gearhead on here, and his specialty is definitely audio, but he's also into cameras and lights and gadgets and everything, which I am too. But yeah, so, but B&H Photo is closer to him than it is to me, so he can go support his habit more than I can. But anyway, so the one, the only, the legendary, John Ryan from Coffee Talking Tech.
Wow. I get confetti and everything? Jeez.
I know, man. I know. Impressive. Yeah. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing excellent. I want to thank you for having me on. That was awesome. And I'm ready to talk about gear because, you know, I love gear. And I can talk all day about it. So we got, you know, 6-7 hours till the sun rises. We're good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'm off tomorrow, so it'll be okay. Well, I got a couple things I need to do, but okay, we'll make it work. So it'll be all right. It'll be all right. So, all right. Well, let's get this conversation started. I like pretty pictures to get the conversation started. And here we go. All right. So content creation gear. So first of all, why is it just showing me right now? That ain't cool. Let's go to a different sharing. I hate when I share.
I'm okay.
Let's share like this. There we go. I need you on the screen, man. There you go. Yep. So I know we like making fun of the Blue Yeti. We do.
Yeah. It's more for me. It is more fun. It's more because of the reason of just everywhere you go that I can go, like around here. That's all they have in the store. You know, yeah. And the last couple years, we're lucky to have like a couple more things in there, but it's like the Hypercast mic, but there's just not a really wide selection. So no one knows any better but to buy a Blue Yeti. And, you know, it's a little bit better now than it used to be years ago, but going a little bit back, you know, that's what everybody thought they should have. And so, and then of course, when a ton of people started streaming, they kind of found out how important audio is, and that whole thing changed, right, Roy? Like people started to know about routing their audio, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing I wanted to kind of take a moment and say is that there's three things you need in this formula for content creation if you're doing video. And the first and foremost is a microphone. And then second, you need a camera. Or actually, I would say lights. It would be second. And then third, you need a camera. And I've seen videos. The video was horrible, but the audio was amazing. And so you put up with it because you wanted to see what happened or you wanted to hear what they had to say. So the most important thing is that you sound good first.
Right.
And then we'll talk about lighting later. But if you've got the right lighting, you can make the worst of webcams actually look halfway decent. So we'll get into that later. But I just wanted to kind of pull back and talk about that. So the Blue Yeti was my first microphone. I confess, we'll do the 12-step program later, but it was my first mic, and I used it for a long time before I swapped out and went to the one I'm on now. So there's another great one. This is very economical, the Samsung Q2U. So it is USB or it's XLR. And John, tell people what XLR is about.
Well, being that you have this mic, it's a good choice for a few people if they're just liking to get into live streaming or making their videos, because you need to have an audio interface with this if you're going to use it via XLR, right? Because that will give you a more professional, high-end sound. Not that some of these newer microphones that we have can't sound good on USB, because that has all changed the last couple of years. For example, I just did a little review on this mic. It's a Mowano, and it's also USB and XLR. And I was like so impressed. This $70 mic sounded so good and comes with like this very similar software that the MV7 has. And for $65-$70, I just think we have so many good choices with cameras and microphones that I think it just comes down to knowing what you kind of want to do, but that will make you make it easier for you to make a decision. And then also, to be really honest with you, people make decisions based off of looks a lot too.
It's true. It's true. We all want to look real good. And I'm like, in the future, I anticipate getting a boom mic so I can have it out of camera, especially for my video on demand type things. I kind of like the radio DJ kind of look this gives. So I don't have a problem with that. It's also very podcasty. So I like this, but when I'm doing, you know, how to video and that type of thing, I want to get the mic out of the camera so I can focus on the material.
And that's where a lot of people get stumbled. Like right now, I have a condenser mic in front of me. This is the Lewitt 440 that actually Lewitt sent to me on doing a review on it. But also, you know, like you said, when you're doing a tutorial about your desk or something on your desk, it's nice to have this moved over to the side and have a mic that's out of the shot, right? So it opens up that area. And I think that, you know, people get a little confused with that. I know Todd Christmas Clatter and I, we had a big discussion last year about this, and he picked up a particular mic. I got something a little different, and he ended up not being happy because it was picking up a lot of the room, and shotgun mics can do that. So everybody thinks, you know, oh, get a shotgun mic. And I had a whole community saying this is what you should get, or, you know, spend $1,000 and get the Sennheiser 416. A 416 is actually one of the worst mics to get in a non-treated room. Non-treated means you have no sound padding, no blankets up, no nothing. You're just running a normal room like I am, actually, because I have no sound, added sound things to make my mic sound better. So what you really need is what's called a pencil mic. Yeah. And so a pencil mic does a lot better job with reverberation from the side of the mic coming back in. So people don't realize that. And that's why something like a Rode NT5 is a great choice.
Yeah, that's true. That is definitely a good mic. Let's see. We got some folks out here tonight. Lisa Maria, hang on. I got to resize it. This is what happens when you change from 1080 to 4K and you forget to update the comments in your scenes. There we go. There, now it's better. All right. Hey, welcome, Lisa Maria. Florence in the house. Try to do an awesome stream. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, Equip Institute. Hey, Lisa Maria. There's Don. Man, I got to get caught up. I am so behind on your interviews, man. I know you've been posting. And I need to get out there. Hey, speaking of Todd Christmas Clatter, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. And so bought a Blue Yeti in 2020. I bought mine in 2014 before Logitech owned them. So
yeah,
theoretically, I have the good one. Who knows? It still works.
Like, no one could make fun of you when you're talking 2014, because that's like true. Way before. You know, my first mic, I didn't even get a USB mic. I ended up I jumped the gun, got an audio interface first, and I got a very cheap XLR mic called a BM800. And I'm talking, it's literally like $15 if you bought the mic by itself. But because it was connected to an XLR and a very good audio interface, it sounded good even how cheap it was. And so, you know, and then here I am with a nice audio interface sitting practically in the dark as I'm doing my videos because I didn't know a thing about lighting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't go watch my early videos. Yeah. Hang on. Dagan saying hi to everybody.
Oh.
Todd says the Q2U was my first mic. I liked it so much, I bought a second. It is for the price. That is a fantastic microphone. It absolutely is.
It sounds really good.
It does. It does. Anna says live. Hey, welcome, Anna. I'm guys. So glad to catch y'all live. Yep. Awesome. That's what I have, the Q2U. It is a great mic. So, yeah, kudos. Sennheiser MKE600. Isn't that the one that's like $1,800 though? I don't know which.
That's about $350 if you don't buy anything else with it. It's actually everyone that you'll go and talk to about it or watch any review, they'll gonna pretty much put that in the top, you know. But what I have learned after 2 years, Roy, is what people think is good and what really is good are two different things sometimes. It's like when you talk to people from around New York City and you go somewhere else and they'll say, this place in Boston or so-and-so has great Italian food. And then I go there, God, that Italian food is not really that good. When you're spoiled, with Italian food, it's kind of the similar thing. Is like, I have spent a lot of time learning about audio interfaces, what works in different situations, what's better, how to make things sound better. And I think that people, sometimes they just go and watch a couple YouTube reviews, and then all of a sudden they're buying whatever that person's saying. And you can't say that for everybody. Like, you just because they're giving a raving review about something doesn't mean that it actually is such a great thing to buy, especially for you, depending on your case. So we got to be careful about that.
Yeah. Liz Maria being my moderator for me, she says, don't forget to hit that like button. Thank you. We got a question. Anna says, does the power of your computer affect your mic? And the answer is yes. For example, I have a Mac Mini, and there's a trade-off on the USB. There's only so much power. This little Mac Mini only has like 39 watts of power. So I have to have powered USB hubs if I'm going to connect anything that needs any kind of power. And some microphones do need some power. That's not really such an issue in the PC world. They do a pretty good job. Of course, usually you got like 800 watt power supply on your PC. So you just don't have power issues with USB on PCs.
I have a 850 power watt supply, and but that doesn't mean that I wouldn't want a powered USB hub either.
Yeah.
Because certain USB things want to have a little bit more power, and USB-C hubs put out a lot more power. But I think it is just a good idea. Anytime that you get a hub and you want it to be reliable, it's a good idea to always get a powered USB hub.
Right. Yeah. You know, if you do an XLR and you're plugged into an audio interface, so maybe you have the Scarlett or something like that, or we're going to show you the Wave XLR here in just a minute. That's another device. They do connect USB, and you plug your XLR mic. Now, the Wave XLR, does it have a separate power source that does everything via USB?
Everything USB.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal because it's one XLR input. Right. And the unit is pretty simplistic because the majority of everything is done through, you know, the software.
Does it do phantom power?
You know, yes.
In case you're doing a dynamic, okay.
Phantom power, it will run an M7B with no problem at all.
Okay.
And on top of that, you know, and maybe a lot of people don't know, is that you can add VSTs to the Wavelink software, and you can do a lot of stuff that is pretty amazing, actually. So
So now you're gonna tell me what VST stand for.
They're virtual audio inputs.
Or
plugins, I should say. So if you want a compressor, or you want a limiter, or you want some noise reduction in the back, it's all with a plugin, not with a physical unit. That would be like a DSPs built into a unit, which you can buy also.
Yeah, I kind of think of that as filters. That's a way to describe it, kind of. It's not a perfect fit, but it's close. It's sound conditioning. Think of it that way. So, all right. The Wave, the Elgato Wave 3, which is also a USB mic, it's a pretty good mic. It's pretty good.
And so that cap is actually made by Lewitt, too, if you didn't know.
Yes. Yeah. And Lewitt is a fantastic mic, so.
Yeah, they really are. And the Wave, I have the Wave 1 USB mic, and I think that's great, too.
I bought the Wave 1, and I didn't even open the box. I sent the thing back, and then I got the MV7. Because I said, doggone, I can spend just a little bit more and get the MV7 out. Because I found the MV7 on sale.
Right.
So that's why I jumped on it. So this is the Elgato Wave XLR. So this is a way for you to plug in. This does just one mic. Don't they? They only does one mic XLR. So, but if you have, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you see the thing I think people need to grasp with anything that's Wave or Elgato, right? Mm-hmm. Their USB mic or this Wave XLR, what you're really buying into is their Wavelength software.
Right.
Because that sets up all kinds of routing for you. So if you're like going into StreamYard or it doesn't really matter. If you're on Ecamm or vMix, you can only bring in like one audio source. And so right. what you can do is I can have my sound effects and I can have my music in the background and I can have something playing on a browser. And then that you can bring that all into one stream mix that goes into your software. And then you adjust all the mixing and the right. how sound and the audio levels in the Wavelength software. So that is a huge, huge thing to have. And there until this came out, there were only about two other or one other thing out there that would do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. For Max Live users do like the Rogue Amoeba's loop back software to kind of do a software based routing. Cause on a Mac, you're right. You only have so many audio sources. So if you really want to get creative, then you got to have some way to do routing. So the Wave XLR does give you some of that capability, and it does a good job with different XLR mics. So yeah. I like it. All right. Absolutely. And then this is the mic I have. I love this mic. It's the Shure MV7. It's USB or XLR. I'm currently using it USB. I had a soundboard and stuff, but I sold that because I never used it because I did everything through USB because my desk isn't big enough for a soundboard. I'm going to have to break down and get like something to put like mounted over on the side of me here. So, but yeah, that's, you know, I really like that one.
And that's USB and XLR also. Yep. And it does come with some software, but I have heard that people have had issues with the software. And that's, you're only using that software when you're connected USB.
Right. That's correct. Yeah, you can't use that software when you're XLR. So.
And so if you're looking for something like that for half the price, you might want to look at something called an FDUCI SL40.
Okay. And
that is XL. It looks super similar. Actually, it's upstairs on my son's computer, and it looks super similar. And its sound quality is pretty darn good. And you're going to spend about $80. So that's pretty amazing to have something that compete with that even yeah. close. This is $250.
Yeah, and I was going to say when I bought mine, I got it big time on sale. And had a coupon code. So that's the only reason I have it is because it was big time on sale. And it was my Christmas present that year. So.
Yeah.
What do you want for Christmas? Something for my streaming setup.
That's so, it, baby.
And then this is the granddaddy that everybody says, you got to have this mic. This mic has issues. Okay. So this is the official podcast microphone. The Joe Rogan's, everybody and his brother. That does podcasting often, you know, Colin and Samir, they have this mic as well. They have like a room full of them when they're doing an interview and they got four of them all around. So these guys have spent some bucks on some mics. This is a good mic, but the problem with this mic is that you have to have things like a cloud lifter because it's not very loud. It has to have something to boost the sound. And so you do like a cloud lifter between the cable and this device. Now, if you've got a Rodecaster Pro 2, that's been fixed. At least it fixes it. So you don't have that issue. But if you've got earlier equipment, pretty much everybody and his brother says, oh, yeah, if you buy that mic, you got to get a cloud lifter, which I think is like 50 or 60 bucks by itself. And it's basically a device where you plug the XLR into the back of it and then XLR out, and then it goes into your soundboard and that type of thing, or your Wave XLR if you had one of those. And so this is a great mic. But it's overkill as well. You can get away with so much less and still sound great. Trust me on that. So
absolutely can. Unfortunately, I have a mic addiction, and I do own this mic.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. With some things like this, I just want to get my hands on. Like, and that's why I got my hands on a Blue Yeti. I wanted to know exactly what I was making fun of or just – thought was overrated or not. Okay, so I got the SM7B. Here's the thing. It's a very dark mic. And when you hear people talk about dark or a bright mic, it's really it's really not the perfect mic for a lower voice person. While it's a kind of a not a it's a dark mic, so it really doesn't bring out a say a great presence boost in a low voice. And so, but the thing is, when you start using that type of stuff, you can EQ everything, right?
Oh yeah.
But the other thing is with this mic, it takes about 60 decibels, like you said, to run this with audio interface. So you got to make sure that if you get like a Motu M2 or you're getting a, like I own an SSL 2 plus, that will actually run it at 100% actually of its power. Okay. And the thing I noticed about this mic, okay, so I always thought it was overkill and all this and that. When I got the mic, the one thing I really liked about it is it really did the best job out of any mic that I've owned with shutting out the background noise at all. Yeah. Now, so that impressed me because it was just a very quiet mic and I liked how it made the rest of the room sound, considering that I don't have anything in this room to make it better. So that did surprise me and made me like it more than I thought I would, if that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does. Cause this, cause that is one thing that's great about this mic is that it, if you're talking right into it, that is all the sound it's picking up. It's not picking up anything from the sides. And that's a great mic. And if you put the right pattern on your Blue Yeti, you can get it close. It will always pick up some sound, but it's not to the level this does. This thing is fantastic at kind of keeping that sound away. So, yeah.
The other thing I wanted to point out, because I know you've been catching some of my later videos, and mm-hmm. I did a video with the Blue Yeti with the Wavelink software. And so now since the Stream Deck Plus came out, you can connect any USB mic and you can connect audio interfaces, but I connected the Blue Yeti. And if you listen to that video, by the time I was done, how could you not think that sounded good? It sounded good. And because I have the noise suppression in the back and all those plugins were free. So I used the one in the video that were free. It's not going to cost anybody a dime more. So if you get yourself a Stream Deck Plus and you use that Wavelink software for something like a USB mic, now that's why I'm saying nowadays, it's this goddamn impressive what you can do with some stuff.
It's a great time to be a content creator.
It really is.
It really is. There's so much cool gear, you know? And it used to be so expensive. You know, like a million years ago, I went to school for recording engineering and I was in this big multi-track studio and you got all this equipment and the soundboard cost $450,000 just for two-inch, Sony tape, reel-to-reel. So, everything. And now I can do everything on my Mac and the right mics and right boards and everything. And it's just amazing. You know, you can have a TV studio for so much cheaper than you ever could do anything. So,
true.
Great.
True.
It's awesome stuff. Lights. So, we'll get the lights in a sec. I hear a lot of people talking. So, let's find out what they're saying. What's everybody saying out there tonight? Let's do shout-outs. There we go. Let's see. Da-da, da-da.
Yeah. You know, the pod mic too, Roy. Okay, it takes a lot of dBs to run that pod mic too.
Let's see. So we got Linus question. Pepper Tree Villa. Hey, howdy. Hey, welcome. KDJ, savor the flavor of the awesomeness in your peeps for sharing your delectable nuggets of knowledge information with us today. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Welcome to the show. And Don says I have the SM7B. Yep. I mean, it's the granddaddy. Todd says a friend of mine just gave up on his SM7B and is using a pod mic. The SM7B always unline noise. Is there a hum? I thought it was a really quiet mic. Maybe it was interference or something.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, you will like I have a PC really close to this mic. Or my USB mic, if it sits in the middle of my desk because my PC is right here, I get interference. You're going to get interference when you have as much stuff as we do around our desk. Yeah. You're going to.
I see. Dagan says, I use a program called Crisp to help eliminate background noise. I play with that program. I hate that program, but it does work, but I find it it really just kind of chops the top and the bottom off. And yeah. You get the sound in the middle and you wind up having to just do something. I don't know. That's just been my experience with it. It does work. Let's see. Love my Stream Deck. Yes. But he's talking about, you got the Stream Deck. Is this called Plus?
Yeah.
What's the new one called?
Plus, and I have two Stream Deck XLs also.
Yeah. And Todd's saying, hey, Darnie and Doug. Yep. Well, definitely awesome. Pepper Tree Villa guys being out here tonight. So thanks for coming by. All right. So let's talk about lights. Now, I did not prep like 1,000 different lights. I can tell the history of my lights, and that'll probably scare people enough. But and we'll do that. We'll talk about that. So let's see. Ta-da. Back to the sharing. Anyway, so right now I have my best lighting setup I've ever had, and it's because I have the small rig RC 120B, and then I have this parabolic softbox on it, and that's what I have right here shining on me, making things crispy and cool awesomeness. Before this, like everybody else, and John, you need to tell us what your story of starting off with lights were. Everybody else, I started with a ring light because that's what everybody said. Oh, yeah, just get a ring light. And I put that in front of me, and it was just so harsh, and the knob was on the back of it, so I didn't have any way to control it, so I kept having to crawl under my desk. Long story, but I'm in a very small studio, so I had to crawl under my desk, get to the light, twist it down, get back to my seat. Oh, that's too bright. You know, you just got big hot spots on your face. So then I finally put the yellow covers to go over it, so I put that on. It was a newer brand ring light. I did like it. Later, I came out with one that had app control. So my daughter needed a ring light. I got her the one with the app control. Then I went to the newer 660 RGB lights. Uh-huh. And that was when I realized, unless you're a photographer, you don't need RGB lights. I should have went with the bicolored lights instead. So I learned that lesson the hard way. But so if you're just doing talking head videos, then the bicolor lights is what you need. I had a very long discussion before I bought the RC 120B with B&H Photo, which, by the way, B&H Photo has the best technical support. There's nothing on here. They're not paying me to say this. I'm just going to tell you, multiple times I've had a conversation with those guys, and they pointed me in the right direction where I start. So if you just don't know what you need, get on the technical support line, get in chat and talk to those guys, and they will talk you through and make suggestions to you. So,
I'm there.
Shout out to them. Yeah.
Myself. And it's a very impressive place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the chocolate factory I want to go visit. So,
right. So, I went down the same road with the lights, right? So I bought these really cheap $31 lights, put them up, and they're about like this big, and started throwing the light on me, and then it was really harsh in the shadows, and I got a ring light, and then you put the ring light on and you have glasses, and you got the big ring in your glasses as you're talking. And so I was doing this stuff on Facebook, you know, and I was like doing it with my son. And then I never did any of this kind of testing with my stuff. I was just learning how to use all this stuff. And then I was like, oh, I got to get one of these. So I did the same thing. I went and got the 480 newer lights with the barn doors.
Yep, that's what I had, the 660s of that same thing. Yeah.
And if you see these lights, okay, they're all like these little diodes in here, right? Every one of these little diodes, they cast the light individually, and they also cast the shadow. Okay, so these are harsh, and people don't realize how harsh they are until you use them. So they give you this plastic diffuser that you slide in so you can't see it, and then you have the barn doors to kind of give you the direction of where you want your light. And it's okay, but then you keep on trying to adjust the light, and you notice these hot spots, and you can't get rid of them, and you don't know what you're doing wrong yet, you know, and you don't catch it. And then finally, I found a light that was affordable for me. Now, Elgato has the lights that run off the app. Yeah. I did not really want to buy those. They're really handy, but the light that I ended up getting is very similar. Hang on. So it's this guy. This is a Dazney D50.
Yeah.
So you're looking at this whole panel, okay? But the thing is, there's no lights in the surface of this panel, okay? The lights are, it's an edge lit panel. So all the lights are in the edge right here. It wraps all the way around and then lights up this whole panel. And that gives you a much softer look. Now, is it as soft as a soft box? No, it's definitely not. But this does a heck of a job for the price. So, John, why did you, I'm speaking in third person. John, so why did you buy these instead of the Elgatos? Well, here's the thing that really sold me. On the back here, okay, you have a power switch. The Elgatos are all run from an app. Okay, so I have a power switch. I can adjust my lighting here. Here's the big thing. Right on both sides, batteries. So if I want to take these with those Sony batteries that you can buy for so cheap, and I want to take this and use this outside of my studio or anywhere for that matter, now I have mobile lighting systems that go out. I bought both of these during Black Friday, and it comes with a remote so I can sit at my desk and make these adjustments in here. And they are bicolor. I bought it for $167 for both of them. They came with a stand, and then I put them on the desk and used them just like you would the Elgato lights. And they were fantastic, and I could not complain. And I probably sold about 24 of them this past year from my links on for Amazon. So they're really good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. I wound up, because of the hot spots, even the newers were causing, I bought soft boxes for the newers, and I bought a cheap soft box, and then I bought the official one, and the official one fit so much better, did so much better. So I lived with that for a long time. I literally had one on each side. I still have one now, because during the day, this monitor over here is my work monitor, and then the one in the middle doubles up. It's work during the day, and then it's cool live streaming at night. And then I have my streaming set up on this side here. So that's just kind of how I have that set up.
I did the same thing. Bought those soft boxes that go over it, and then you end up spending like $30-$35 for each one of those. And then they, like you just said, they don't fit perfect. And it gets frustrating. And then can I go wide and just show you what I'm running now?
How's that?
So this is, I have two of these 37 inch soft boxes, and I have two of these 25 inch. These are called the angular boom boxes. Very affordable. I got these 37 inch for only $99. Now, you do not have to buy the parabolic ones. They're very deep with the parabolic, and people feel they give you a softer image. That's debatable. And when you're dealing with room, it's better off just to have a standard regular softbox. If you can afford the room, heck, if you want to go parabolic, go. The first thing I learned about this lighting, now granted, this is an Amaron 100D lighting on this side, and this is also an Amaron 100D. And the thing I learned about this, since you see this one is smaller, I have it a little further away from me. So I would have thought that I would have needed that to be closer. In my head, I was thinking, okay, this light's smaller. I need this to be closer to me, right, to cast the light on. So I was wrong. It was totally the opposite. You need to have it further away. Because this other light is so big, it wraps the light around you, and it can be close and lower, and it makes a nice soft light. The other light has to be further away because I was getting hot spots and the lighting was looking harsher, but I didn't have the room I needed on that side. And that's why I went that way, Roy, with one small and one big. And I learned a lesson right there, because all this takes a long time. And then if you see here what I did, you guys can't see this, but all the way up there. There's a black pipe that goes across up here. I hung that into the ceiling and bolted it into my rafters. And actually, that's where my lighting is hanging off with, along with my camera, my overhead camera that's right here, is attached to that same thing.
Yeah, cool
So,
setup. Cool setup.
come a long way in the last couple of years with the lighting and making room and all that
Let's
jazz.
see. All right, so here's my, hang on. So I made a quick video before the show. I said, hey, I'll just show off my desk this way. Hang on. Let's figure out what to do with that scene. Thought I made a shortcut for it, but of course I did not. So hang on. We'll get
Yeah.
there. There it is. Here, all right, so here we go.
You got it? Okay, go
All
ahead.
right, so that's my newer with the soft box, and then I have a teleprompter that I rarely use, and this is my small rig parabolic, and here me trying to get the camera behind it so you can see the actual the 120 back there, so it's RC120B. And then here's the there was me here's my desk. It's a mess, I'm sorry. It's a cable nightmare, but I got like my stream deck and my loop deck, and then I've got OWC Thunderbolt hub, and then I've got a Cal Digit Thunderbolt hub, and then I got these two floodlights behind me that I use. They're not video friendly, but I get them to work. And so I'm sorry, there's all my pop Funko Pops for Hamilton. So anyway.
Oh, and your green screen.
And my green screen, yes, which is currently, yeah, I have an Elgato green screen. They now have a green screen XLR, which is
Yes.
what I want because this one's just not quite wide enough for the floor space I have. And so I have to put it really close behind me. Plus, lighting a green screen is a nightmare, and I am not an expert on it at all. I literally would have to go find somebody to come on the show to like talk us through how to make a green screen work because I've been hit or miss. Sometimes I can get it perfect, and then sometimes it's just so messed up. I'm like, I quit. I give up. I don't want to do
Is
any of it.
in the
So,
lighting.
yeah. Let's see.
You
Yeah.
have to light the green screen and yourself separate.
Yep. It's Philip saying, hey, y'all. Dang it, I have the XL. Oh, cool.
There you go.
Good morning from Manila. Hey, Tina.
Yeah.
Talking lights. Yep. Same ring light. Yeah. Don, I think everybody bought that same ring light. I also had the bicolor. Yeah, that's l lesson. If you get bicolor lights, don't get the daylight. Don't get the RGB. Get the bicolor if you're just doing talking heads. If you're a photographer and you need to do like moody type shots, then you probably need an RGB or something like that. Lights, oh man, that was a challenge for me. I finally got it right. Yes, and your lights do grow great. B&H, I have ordered tech stuff from them the last couple of years. B&H is awesome. I
Yeah.
love those guys. Nisha Future, welcome. I don't know if you've been here before, but welcome to the show.
Yeah, she's I met her a few years ago. She's
Okay.
follows my channel.
Cool. Sammy
Nice.
Superstar. Man, you've been laying low, man. I've seen some of your shorts, but I haven't seen a lot. But I've been trying not to watch shorts if I could help it, because it literally winds up being a time suck, and 4 hours later, I haven't done anything I needed to get done. So,
Listen, we might have to have a discussion with this, but we can't have it taken up an hour because I could go about 40 minutes about shorts.
yeah, yeah.
But
Anna's saying, "Hey, same superstar." Hey,
Kevin.
and Kevin's out there. Yep, welcome. Hey, has everyone remember hit that like button? Oh, thanks. The button looks something like yeah. If it's you see through, then it's not dark enough, so you gotta click on it so it's no longer see through. So, John isn't talking in third person. He was just quoting me about a year ago. Have Sammy says he has that same light. Oh, we got a question. This says, do you have any suggestions or hints about lighting with your glasses? You have no glare, not to be rude, but there is no glare on your head either. Great lighting. So tell us the secret, John.
So the secret with the lighting that I bought, which I showed you, which was the last bigger square, okay, which is the Dazzney D50s. So what I did is I had to buy an extension to lift them higher up. So the key is to get them higher up off the your desk at a 45 degree angle. So that means they're going to be coming not straight at you, kind of, you know, if you know, if you look up a 45, it's like a little angle to your face. And that keeps it out of the reflection for the camera and for you. And once you get that down, you do a pretty darn good job with keeping out of your glasses, but it takes like, it's not something that you'll figure out in 2 seconds, because you got to find the room on your desk. Where can you put the lighting? Can you get it high enough? And then can you angle it? So that's why the Elgato lighting does pretty good, because there's stands that sit on your desk. But then if you don't have that room, that becomes a struggle. And then you have to get the ones that clamp to the end of your desk. And that's what the Dazzle D50s are. If you're looking for something cost-effective, usable in different situations, you want to go to Amazon, you want to look up Dazzle D50s and take a look at those. They're a good quality. Now, if you want to find something more on the consumer professional side, you're going to want to look at these Amarons. And Amaron is a company that is actually Aputure. And everybody knows who Aputure is when it comes to lighting. So this is their consumer, you know, product that's a little bit not professional for more people like us. And this is a 100D, and it is not bicolor, and this is not bicolor, because if you learn how to set the white balance in your camera, that doesn't matter. But it is nice to have bicolor, but it usually costs you more money, and you have to decide if you need that or not.
Yeah, I like life to be as hassle-free as possible. So you haven't, but you have a great video on how to do the white balance. You just had it out. Yep. So,
but for some,
hit your channel, watch that
too. You know, the white balance and using the bicolor. They're like, what does that mean? What do I got to do?
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So, and yeah, you were talking about, so if anybody knows John Pullum, he gets around the light and glasses issue by wearing glasses that don't have lenses in them.
Okay.
So that's a little secret in case you didn't know. John Pullum does a video. He's wearing glasses. He actually doesn't have any lenses in his glasses. Does he need glasses? Yes, but he's wearing them without lenses to do it. Cameras. So this is the camera that I have. Now, we can talk about cameras all day long. There's so many out there.
You know, separate stream alone.
Say again?
We need a separate stream for this alone.
Yeah, we do. This is the camera that I have, the ZV-E10. When it first came out, it was like a waiting list, and somehow I lucked up and got one. So I was very happy because I had been using the C920 Logitech. But like we talked earlier, we didn't go real deep detail. If you have great lighting, you can make a webcam look good. You absolutely can. I know a few people talking about they just got a face cam. The Elgato face cam is a good webcam as well. The Insta webcam that does 4K, that's pretty amazing too. But I mean, it's just, you know, just really, and I know you've gone through a whole series of different types of cameras. So John, what's your current camera, and what would you recommend for a general user?
So you talked about, my current camera is the ZV-E10 in front of me. And I don't think at this point that really 99% of all YouTubers would ever have to go above a crop sensor in their studios. Being that the compression with the, you know, the sound compression, the video compression on YouTube, it's you start spending more money and you start getting less returns with higher end stuff. You're better off spending money on good lenses and lenses that do better things in your studio, like maybe a small zoom of 18 to 50 that Sigma makes, instead of just having the Sigma 16. Sigma 16 looks good on you, but maybe the one in the back of the room, you want to have a little zoom on it. We can talk about different things, but if we're talking about people that are really on a tough budget, I think the Elgato face cam is a steal. And once again, with the right amount of lighting, where you spend $175 on your lighting, and then you're going to spend about $140-$150 on the camera, you'll make this Elgato face cam look real good. Do I think the Insta360 has a better picture? Yes, I do. But do you really need that to follow you and do the extra stuff? I don't think
that.
I don't think it, for most people, it would need it, you know? So that depends on what your case scenario is. Like maybe if you're an Instagram or YouTuber where you're on a desktop and you're cooking and you want the one camera to follow you, I mean, that kind of makes a lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe for us where you're right here, maybe not so much sense. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then we can go into, you know, higher end cameras. And I've had this discussion a million times. Until you physically do it, where you go and touch a Canon menu system versus a Sony menu system,
yeah,
it is much leaps and bounds. And now I know the newer cameras with Sony have a newer menu system like the A7 IV. It is still not the same. It is still a little difficult. I tried an A7 IV and the Canon R6 came out, and that's why I got it, because I was in that system, the Canon system, for photography. But for my videos, everything is a Sony in here right now.
Yeah. So. No, definitely. I mean, and if somebody were just starting out, you know, they could go get the, with the Canon 50 M2 and just, you know, the Mach 2.
Yeah. But to tell you the truth, I wouldn't get that, because I would buy it used if I were going to do it. That mount is dead, right? That's the M mount system. True. It's, you're never going to be, you can use it with an adapter and you can use EFS lenses. So if you're getting it used, that's fantastic, because that adapter will fit all those EFS lenses. You could put EF lenses on there if you want to. I've used my 24-70 zoom on it, and yeah, that's great. And I know some people that went out and bought the Canon M50 and they love how easy and intuitive it is to use. And it gives you a decent picture. But if you're, you know, looking for something from scratch, I mean, I have a hard time at this point, at that price, not recommending the ZV-E10 still. And then on top of that, with the new Canon cameras that are out, you have the R7 and the R6 crop sensors that are, you know, fantastic cameras. So there's a lot going on in the camera industry right now. So.
Thanks. I think you, Phil was talking about your studio. Anyway, and I was asking, how many cameras do you have on? And where do you position your main camera? So, John, where do you position your main camera? Mine is in between my left and right monitors. So I have three monitors on my desk. I have the hydraulic mounts, which, by the way, those are fantastic. I had a tri-mount, but the middle monitor would never move because it was fixed, but the sides would move. So finally, the last Prime Day, I got these hydraulic ones, and they're fantastic. I can move the lenses around, the monitors anywhere I want. Not quite enough to put a teleprompter between them yet, but I was trying to figure out a way to do that. But I have it just right in between my two monitors, and I try to remind myself to look at it and not stare at the screen. So,
yeah.
But what's your setup?
So I changed it 2 to 3 times in the last 6 months, and I have it directly in front of me. So this is my camera directly in front of me right now. Okay. And if I go, I'll go to this and just give you a little idea. So I had this third monitor over the top of the monitor in front of me, the camera's in front of me. And I put the camera right here for a while. And so someone was watching me stream and they gave me some nice feedback, and they were like, I just noticed a lot of times you were having a hard time making eye contact with the camera. And I really never had too much of a problem doing that. And it was right after I had moved the camera to the other monitor. And so looking at my software right here, my streaming software, and then looking over here occasionally, which is okay, but they just noticed it was a lot more than I guess probably ever average. Yeah. Right. And so I moved it back right over the top right here. After I did everything, I moved everything back, moved this monitor over the top. And I had four monitors and I went back to three and just keep this one right here. And I just think that, you know, sometimes when more is not always better, and having the camera about eye level, or this is about, I would say middle of the lens is about dead even with my nose. And that's a pretty good height to have. Some people like to have a vibe of it coming up. I just think that's kind of chancy. You get a lot of times it's looking up your nose and no one wants to see that. And Roy, you know, come back for a second. I want to tell you something. What's that? I just, This is the truth. Okay. I have gone into people's streams and other people had made comments. I never make it myself, but other people had comments that, like, some people, you're too bright. You're too bright. And so I would say, you know, you have to do a little adjustment to your ISO or bring down that light, right? They were shining the light like through their lens practically and was causing glares on them. And now I went and told people, the thing is, people, even if they have the right equipment, it doesn't mean you're going to look good. You know, it doesn't, it takes learning how to use the equipment. So when you get the camera, don't think because, oh, I got that camera, now I'm going to look like Roy, or I got that light, so I'm going to look like so-and-so. When you start doing that, you set yourself up for a little bit of failure. There is a learning curve to all this stuff, and it's not going to happen overnight. And then you start shaping, and it took hours upon hours of trial and error with all this stuff to get it to understanding it, especially when you switch cameras and you're switching, you know, the menu systems and what everything does and how it affects you and the focus system. You know how many people you watch and they move their hand just like this and the focus is on their hand for a split second, blurry. It takes a while to learn how to do that stuff.
It does. And sometimes I have to go back and rewatch all the YouTube videos that showed me that the first time. So I can remember, wait a second, I'm getting ready to make this change on the camera. I was doing that today. So I'm like, I'm okay. I'm putting it back in 4K. Let me just watch the video to refresh my memory how it is. And I do have a custom button set, so I can hit the custom button and it'll put everything back the way I had it. So it's always good to have a backup before you go forward. That's what I always say. Have a backup before you go forward. And so that way I can make all the changes I want. And if it just went really stupid and I really messed up, I can just, okay, return back to previous settings. And then if I fall in love with this setting, then I can set it and say, okay, this is my new custom setting. Or you can set like two presets. And what's confusing on the Sony cameras, you have to hit the trash can to go to the preset button. I never understood that. That's craziness, but that's a feature.
Custom buttons are a godsend. You know, you're right. It does. Once you set up things, and like on my Canon R6 Mark II, I have like three different custom buttons for photography and for video. And you just want to jump in and out of 1080p, 4K, and slow-mo. You know, it just makes it simple to just, okay, I need this. Boom, you touch that custom button, and you're ready to rock. You know, makes a big deal. You know, so those are the secrets actually of getting your workflow. Right?
Yeah.
Getting your workflow to really just smooth out and be much easier to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, so I have a C920 in my teleprompter, but I don't have it pointed at anything useful right now because I was just doing some work with the teleprompter. See, this is my Elgato face cam, which right now I have pointed at my desk, and you see I've got all these boxes over there, so it's just not a good scene right now. But, you know, the show off, hey, there's my loop deck and my stream deck, and I got the Blue Yeti out of the corner. I was going to mess with you with it.
Mine's right up there somewhere, I think.
So anyway, let's see. Oh, we got a few people, more comments here. Let's see. The same here. Cable's really a nightmare. Yeah, I do need to fix my cable mess here. Do either struggle with heat or hot in your studio? If so, how do you feel with it without causing background noise? So in my case, two things. One, before the show, I crank up the air and cool the house down to get ready for the show because the lights do add temperature to the room. And then second of all, this particular mic does a good job of not paying attention to sounds behind it. So sometimes the air conditioning's on. I've never had anybody complain. I've gone back listening to video, and I could barely sense it was even there. So it really is a question of, can your microphone kind of avoid those sounds or cool the room down beforehand? What's your approach, John? What do you do to make things more comfortable before you start? Does your room get hot because of all those lights?
So in the summertime, it definitely does get hot. And I actually have a little fan over on the left side to blow up on me. But since about, I say, last year, I had two different methods of how to kill the background noise. I had a DBX 286 with a noise gate, And so I would set the levels so I it wouldn't affect me for the sounds like that in the background, and I can run a fan. And then right now I'm running a VST called the NS1, and that's a noise reduction in the background. Otherwise, if I had it totally off with a condenser mic sitting right here, you would probably hear my PC fan, which I could touch my PC from here. Yeah. And because I run that NS1 and I can adjust how strong it wants to be, it does a really good job at keeping that, you know, background noise down, and I can run a fan. And sometimes I just deal with it. Like, I've done 6-hour streams. And so for me to do an hour stream, no matter kind of how stuffy it is, that won't really put me under. I'm a little bit tougher than that. So,
yeah. And the other thing about mics is like this Blue Yeti here. The problem with it is that when you use a stand like it has, every time you bang the desk, it picks it up. So you'll notice, like, John and I both have boom arms. I have the Elgato low profile, so I have it going right underneath my monitor coming out. And you've got the Rode. Is that the one you have?
Rode PSA 2. It's the second edition.
Yep.
And I moved my, I have the one also, and I have that for on the side if I need it. And then what I did also, because I do have my PC on my desk, I had to go get some like rubber grommets about so big. And then I put them underneath to catch some reverberation, because my condenser mics and some not so quiet dynamic mics would pick it up. Yeah, the Shure SM7B wouldn't pick it up, but my RE320, because it doesn't have a shock mount, would pick it up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those are the things that you learn as you go with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. You have to make the mistakes to learn it. It's kind of like, the gear I have now. So, I still want to reiterate, if you have a cell phone, you can go live. You can create content. There's apps where you can edit the video on your phone. You can do everything from your phone. You might want to consider like a lapel mic. They have lapel mics, and I do a lightning to USB-C adapter or 3/4-inch adapter, headphone jack plug, and I'll plug the mic into the bottom of my phone, record that way. Now I have a DJI wireless that I've started playing around with, and so this is really cool. This is my latest acquisition. I sold my soundboard and bought the DJI mic. So it's all about balancing out the budget so I don't blow the budget here. But just different things like that that kind of make a difference. You don't have to have fancy gear, but over time you will buy the cheap stuff and it fails, and you just keep buying the cheap stuff, and then finally you just have to bite the bullet and buy the nice stuff because it lasts so much longer. I went through a bunch of crappy capture cards before I finally just bought a Camlink 4 4K, and it's been great ever since. But I went through a bunch of cheap ones, and they didn't have quite the resolution, and you would see it grainy on the screen, and not happy times.
I come from a little bit of a different feel right now, only because like a couple of years ago I would have said, yeah, you can go from your phone and everything. But now my suggestion, if you can, okay, and I'm not saying that everybody can, but nowadays, now that everybody is up their ante and so many people are doing remote, using your phone is tough, because the one thing you said, your phone does everything, and that's where it becomes tough. And that's why I feel, go and spend the money for your face cam, your Elgato face cam. You will look pretty darn good with that. And then your phone is used for so much stuff. I could not feel comfortable streaming with my phone, because how many streams do you watch? And I know you guys have seen it a numerous times. You're watching someone streaming with their phone, and they got texts coming in, and they forgot the notifications, and you hear everything going off. It's tough, man, because not only is like someone's phone, it's like their connection to the rest of the world. Their children could be texting. There's so much. Go get yourself. You're in the best time right now to buy streaming equipment. The audio equipment that's come out has been leaps and bounds. These cameras that are coming out right now, the Elgato Facecam for $130 so bucks or around there. gives you a really good look, and then you could use your phone for other things like adjusting your lighting in the background or taking an emergency phone call, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see. Don says you wear makeup. That's how you prevent the glare. Rich, yeah. Vibes in the house, man. You're up late. So welcome. So he says, hey, Tina, I'm using the Canon M50. Yep. The difference between the M50 and the M50 Mach 2 is that the Mach 2 has HDMI. I mean, it has the menu for HDMI. That was always the problem with the
clean HDMI.
I need glass to see. Also, I have no hair. John, you are my new hero.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It took a while. So, and Rich is, yeah, like Tina says, Rich is up early or out late, whichever, depending on your point of view there. Just finished in the club. Okay, that's what it is. He's out late. Yep. Yep. All right. Yep. Just arrived home. 360 for outdoors. So, yeah, now the NC360 for the 3D one, like the 3X, that's pretty good. But, yeah, at least Maria, budget, very budget conscious. Yeah, I mean, if it's a business, then these expenses, you can write them off. If it's a hobby, then these hit your disposable income if you're lucky enough to have any. So you got to budget for it. You got to think it out. I look for sales. I put things on wish list. I wait for things. Todd says, I used the iPhone XLR with camo for my first year and got great results. I think you can get really good results with the phone. I agree. There's some compromises, but, you know, with continuity camera, for example, or if you use NDI I have an NDI app on my iPhone that I used for a long time. So,
I mean, everybody has a second phone. I mean, I had a Samsung S8. That actually looked way better than most webcams.
That was a good phone. I had that phone.
Yeah, I loved it until I got in the pool with it. But it's a good phone, and I've done videos with it showing how good the videos. And the thing is I kind of left that part out, which is a lot of people have, you know, phones that they don't use anymore and that they're just backup phones. Or you could buy those really cheap, too, from family members or whatever. Hi, Mommy Lala.
Yeah, welcome, Lala. See, lots of people all shouting out and saying hi to everybody. Anna says, I also got an M52 Christmas Go. Still haven't set up, so intimidating. I just have my Logitech. If your camera looks good, then stay with it. You know, but then if you want an adventure, break out that M50. You know, you could then take your webcam and use it as a second camera. If you have a setup that where it makes sense to have a second camera. I haven't. I did the behind the scenes kind of thing for a bit, and then I got kind of bored with it. But John, to show us all his cool stuff, we had to have him have his behind the scenes camera. So that was really cool to see your gear set up there. So my room is congested with lots of stuff that has nothing to do with my YouTube adventure. So I have to hide my dirty laundry, which is hanging up right there. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I'm hiding myself. In the corners.
Mom got to say hi to everyone. Yep. Hey, Todd. Yeah, yep. Feeling lonely in the box. 2 years.
I think Anna has the Mark II, if I'm not mistaken, though. I'm pretty sure she does. I think the M50.
Let's see. I would like to get a third monitor at some point. Dagan, I really like the hydraulic mounts on my desk. And that's the thing. If you buy all these light kits, like the newer ones, they all come with these giant light stands. And then the first thing you do is you go wind up buying like all the mounts to put it on your desk so you can just make those go away. Cause I had the ring light and had a big old light stand. I kept tripping over it. And finally I mounted it to my desk and then, you know, all these different mounts. So you wind up mounting. There's so many things mounted to my desk at this moment. Luckily this is a heavy duty desk. I'm supposed to be able to handle up to 300 pounds. So.
I mean, that's the thing, like having the right desk, having the right size desk. I mean, I went through all that. Like I went and got a desk, and then I was like, oh man, I went and got a top from Home Depot, and I went and got a whole separate frame. Now my desk goes up and down, which is fantastic. Yep. If I need that, you know. And then the other thing is, it's a full wood desk, so I'm pretty happy with how strong this is. And my two latest acquisitions has been this new wireless and USB-C, whatchamacallit, you know what those are.
A mechanical keyboard.
And the mouse. And yeah. So I'm really happy with these two because I didn't think I was going to go 70%. I went to a 70% keyboard after 100%. And I'm really happy with this. But this is my two Stream Decks. I bought this frame off of Etsy, so they fit in here perfect. This is the Stream Deck Plus. And then over here is my one of my audio interfaces. I picked up this used. These were both used also. I paid $120 for one of these and $150 for the other one. So when it comes to looking for deals, I am not paying full price for almost everything. My SM7B was under $300. I live close to New York City, so I have the ability to always try to get some really good used products that are out there in the market.
Yeah, I'm in the wrong area for that. There's not a lot of live streamers in my area.
No,
I am in the minority here as far as live streaming goes. So, let's see. Tina says, John, that's the truth. Each of our studios are built differently, so you need it set up according to your room. Yeah, it absolutely. So you just got to figure out what works for you. What's the setup you like? Sabrina says, absolutely, mommy god. I'm having sound issues lately with my RCP. I want to kick it. Well, that's one way to fix it.
She's having sound issues. Like, what kind of issues?
Yeah.
Is it a Rodecaster Pro or a Rodecaster Pro 2?
Yeah, that's a good question. Tina, which one do you have?
I'm just curious, too. You know, that's like, I mean, I went into detail with this, but people used to look at me like I was crazy. I used to tell people, you know, because when the Rodecaster, everybody was going nuts. Everybody was getting it. I was like, it doesn't route your audio at all. Like, you guys are getting it in your one person. It has four mic inputs and it doesn't route your audio. And you're spending $500-$600 on this. I mean, I would wait, I said, or get the Go XLR.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's just a lot of people get the Rodecaster Pro 2s and they only have one mic and that's it. And I'm like, you know, and they never push the sound effects buttons. Anyway.
Right.
So, you know, so what did you get it for? You could have gotten away with a Scarlett, or you could definitely use the Elgato Wave XLR. If you just got one mic and, you know, unless you do need the sound buttons, the sound pads add sound effects to your show. And a lot of people like to do sound effects and there's other ways to do it. So I went with the Loop Deck for that.
Yeah.
So I got it as a Kickstarter. So
what's that?
My Loop Deck, it was a Kickstarter, so I got it pretty cheap.
Nice.
Yeah. But then it didn't do as well in Elgato, in Ecamm as far as changing scenes. It did, but it kind of was hesitant and I got fed up with it. So, but it does great with sound loops. I just put all my sound loops on it, so that's what it does. It also is really good for other apps and bringing up programs on my Mac or PC if I had that. So Todd says the DJ mics are a real deal, Holyfield. Yep, I'm having a lot of fun playing with it. I'm working on some B-roll stuff, and I plan to do a little more storytelling in my video on demands. So I'm sure you figure out how to solve it yourself. You're great at finding solutions. Let's see, hang on. Tina says, I still use my phone for my overhead to focus on my workspace. Okay. And you still have to have money to write it off. That is true. That is true.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And that's the thing. Like, that's why even businesses need to have, you know, not everybody has a pharmaceutical business where money is unlimited. But the thing I wanted to say is probably like my last three or four videos. And I think we talked about this a little bit is I went back to using my phone for B-roll and getting some product, you know, video, because I was getting caught up with not having enough time. And then I would get overwhelmed with the whole fact of having to set up my cameras and then break it down quick and then transfer video. And I was like, man, I'm just going to start using my phone for this. And I think that, you know, no one complained. I used a lot of lighting. So this way this, you know, sensor was happy and it did a darn good enough job. And I'm not stressing about it at all. It was worth it to make my workflow that much easier.
Tina says she has the RCP1. So
yeah. And so what is the problem that she's having?
Yeah. Give us more. Unless you have face-to-face live stream. Okay. I'm not sure what that was about. Let's see, with friends in the same room. That's true. If you had multiple friends, it was in the box more than 6 months before I decided to use it. Tina, what's the issue you're actually having? Because maybe John has some insight on how to resolve that.
Yeah, I mean, right. And if you were doing a real podcast with four people, then it was a fantastic product to own, you know, or even if it was like two people. But if you were just doing a podcast with a live stream and it's just you, maybe even then you'd want it. But I mean, you can buy other things that have sound pads that are smaller and cheaper, but if you can afford it and you wanted the ease of use of a couple inputs on there, okay, that would make sense. But for most people, it didn't make sense, to be honest with you. And then the funny thing is that if you listen to people who use it, like in StreamYard and some other, you know, other streaming softwares, the sound never comes out really clear because it's just, man, some of those other softwares and stuff are, you know, you're pushing through a whole bunch of filtered stuff and it's tough for it to sound clear. But I don't know. Everybody's got a different, you know, and you know what? You won't learn until you get this thing in your hands yourself. Sometimes people just don't really understand something. And when I talk about audio routing, I still think today that people have like no clue about what it entails, you know, like, and then the thing was like, I just know that there's a lot of, it's tough being a streamer on a Mac. I believe, I just feel like, it always seems like all the softwares for products come out so much later. Like, you know, I know like this, a lot of the Wave products that came out, they worked great on PC and were struggling on Mac. And then finally you have the drivers that come out and people, you know, that they need. And then Luit has like these, this awesome audio interface. And I think it works really well for a lot of things. No, it's like on the Mac side, it's struggling. And so is a little bit of struggle, especially with audio, you know, with using a Mac sometimes. And you got Loopback. That saved your butts. That was the thing that hit the Mac, you know, industry for streaming.
Definitely a cool product. But see, Ecamm is why I'm a Mac user. Because, well, I'm a Mac user anyway, but Ecamm and video editing are why I prefer a Mac. So it's just works the best for me in my setup. Yeah. And usually the mainstream stuff supports Mac, so I'm usually okay. Sometimes you get something that's kind of a fringe or a brand new product, and you do have a wait time for them to get around to doing stuff with Mac. So, Tina never did say what her problem was. Tina, what is going on? Anyway.
I think she was like probably a little too much to type, maybe.
So everybody needs to go to Coffee Talking Tech. This is John. Let me turn my sound down here. I like the soothing sound, but this is John's cool YouTube channel. He's been doing some amazing videos, talking about like white balance. Video was a really helpful video. Like, learned a lot about white balance as a part of that. So you definitely need to go look at his different tutorial videos. And he has been testing out lower end products that are almost exactly just as good as the high-end products. So if you're looking to save money and find solutions for different audio and other type things like that, you definitely need to go find John. And as you can hear, he finds those deals, he finds those products. And so definitely recommend, you know, taking a look at John's channel.
Thank you.
And definitely want to go, because I follow John, and every time the little bell rings, I go look and see what John did. John's, it's Christmas morning. John's got a new video out. I have to go see it.
Holy crap. John made a video. It's only been 6 months. I'm actually saddle a little bit. So I'm doing pretty good now. So I'm hoping that I keep on rolling.
She's having issues with wireless Go mic, issues with Bluetooth to play music from the music app on my phone, issues with it working with Ecamm because sometimes I need to restart my RCP. I know. Well, have you, Tina? I just wonder if you've got the latest firmware on that Rodecaster, because early on there was a lot of issues. People kept having it just go south, and you had to reboot the RCP. But I remember we talked about this one time before. I thought you might have had a USB. I was worried you had a USB power issue one time too. So I don't know, John, you got any thoughts? It's definitely something in your area, not mine.
That's why most streamers would never recommend Bluetooth for anything, because it's just not trustworthy. So most people would never want to go Bluetooth because of those problems with connectivity. You got to remember, a lot of times when you're streaming, the other things in the room are going to affect that signal. We have so much stuff around us, right? And so much wireless too. So you're picking up a lot of crosstalk between all that stuff. And so that does affect the connectivity. But yeah, Bluetooth is, it's not something that I would ever really run myself. I think I would connect via like an XLR to a 3.5 millimeter, you know what I'm saying? And plug that wire in physically.
Yeah.
You know, it depends what you're doing. I think that's just a tough thing because it's not going to always come out perfect.
I was going to say, this isn't a good time to help Tina. She's driving and typing.
Oh, so. No. It's not good. That's not the time. Right. I mean, firmwares, you always want to update too. And you want, there's been several updates. I think she's got the Rode Wireless Go 2s, I think, too.
And there's just, that's what she said, yeah.
Yeah, there are tons of updates on them. I'm a huge fan of those. If I was to go off of the audio alone, I would go with the GTs. They definitely sound the best out of anything. But I just love that there's so much going on with the – I mean, if you own these already, the Rode Wireless GTs, do a firmware update. They actually have custom presets for the cameras now that are out there, the most popular cameras that you can use this with. And they also have – an update for like several other very useful things. And now this works with the Rode software, and you can stream and route the audio through these also. So cool. A lot going on. Yeah. Very Rode's cool. Great. You know that. So,
yep, I do. I like Rode stuff. So yep, definitely good stuff. All right. Let's see. I have to do the call to action thing first. All right. First of all, if you happen to be here, and you're not subscribed to my channel, I've got to tell you to go subscribe. And then second of all, I now have a newsletter that will start coming out weekly on Thursdays next week. So if you go to my new website, techtrollmaker.com/contact, and sign up for my newsletter, it will be coming out once a week. It will be content creation tips and then just cool, interesting news tidbits that I find that have to do with AI and technology and that type of thing. Because I am a technologist at heart. And so I see lots of crazy technology. Sometimes I have to work with it. But anyway, and so it'll be that kind of stuff I'll be talking about. So definitely sign up for that. And then last but not least, John, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really do appreciate it. I didn't want to have a tech talk and a gear talk without you on here because I'm like, John, way smarter than I am. I got to have that smart person in the room. And so I really do appreciate it. And your experimentation with things to kind of vet out things ahead of time before a lot of us get a chance to figure that out. So I find that really helpful. And that's why I enjoy your videos.
Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it. And it was great seeing everybody. And just remember, the great thing is that you're looking at a guy that 2.5 years ago didn't know anything about this stuff. And so I came from not knowing anything and really working hundreds of hours, if not a few thousand, with learning this. And you can learn this stuff too. And if you have any trouble, you know, that's what people like Roy and I are here for. So don't ever feel that you can't reach out for an email, or if you want to catch me on Instagram, I can DM you over there. It's Coffee Talk and Tech also. So it's no problem.
Coffee Talk ampersand Tech on Instagram. I was trying to tag you last night when I was posting to promote the show. I'm like, wait, why is he not showing up? And it was Coffee Talk and ampersand and tech. So
yeah, I put the and because you can't do the and symbol.
I know, it's too many letters. But anyway, so all right. That is it, guys. Thank you so much for everybody and have a great night. And then see, I got to do one of those. I have to hit the subscribe button. And then here's one of those outros. And YouTube's going to recommend a video. And if I point the right direction, I always point the right direction. There in the corner here, it's going to recommend a video from my channel that you should watch. You should. If YouTube says do it, it's obviously what you need to do. Have a great night. Thank you so much for coming by. And thank you so much for watching. Good night.